Thank you, Dina. What a great, great song. I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. If you don't, you're going to be lost. And if you can't keep up, jot the scripture down and look at it a little bit later. That might help. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. You'll find that on page 724 of your King James Scofield Bible. Isaiah chapter 11. Our text verse for the message this morning is found in verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There is coming a day when there will be no more cell phones. Thank God. There's coming a day when there'll be no more computers. Thank God. There's coming a day when there'll be no more sin. There's coming a day when there'll be no more sickness. There's coming a day when there'll be no more pain. There's coming a day when there'll be no more suffering. There's coming a day when there'll be no more heartache. There's coming a day when there'll be no more death. There's coming a day when there'll be no more cancer. There's coming a day when there'll be no more funerals. There's coming a day when there'll be no more wars. There's coming a day when there'll be no policemen. There's coming a day when there'll be no jails. There's coming a day when there'll be no military. There's coming a day when there'll be no separation. There's coming a day when there'll be no more misunderstanding. There's coming a day when there'll be no terrorists. There's coming a day when there'll be no criminals. There's coming a day when there'll be no drugs. There's coming a day when there'll be no accidents. There's coming a day when there'll be no doctors. There is coming a day. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. The 1,000 years of peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in our service today. Always the sweet fellowship that we need so badly. Always be fun to lift up our voices and sing these hymns together. The special by Dina, what a blessing. Now we come down to that important place of the service, the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'll bind Satan from our midst. And I pray that you'll help folks to concentrate on the preaching of your word. It's not going to be real easy with the many scriptures, but I pray you'll help them to do that. I pray you'll save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden. And do a work in all of our hearts today, in Jesus' name, amen. The governments of the world and the people who live in the world are praying for peace, while all of the time we are preparing for war. So amidst all of our talking about peace, while preparing for war, is there no hope for this old world? Many believe if a world war should begin, and it appears to be a very strong possibility, it would mean the annihilation of all mankind. So is there no hope? Well, I thank God we have an answer, an absolute answer that cannot fail. We can tell our world there is coming a golden age of peace. However, this peace won't come through the efforts of man, but only by the personal return and presence of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible abounds with such descriptions of this glorious coming age, and it's our purpose this morning to look at several passages of Scripture to deal with the subject of world peace once and for all. I don't know exactly where to begin, because there are so many passages in Scripture that describe this prospect of peace. So while I'm assuming you're still there in Isaiah, let's just continue in the book of Isaiah for a little bit and turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, that's on page 714 of your King James Bible. Isaiah chapter 2, I'm going to begin in reading in verse number 2 and following. Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Verse 4. And he, speaking of Christ, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Thus saith the Lord. The language is absolutely unmistakable. God says upon the authority of his own word that there's a time coming called the last days when wars will cease completely from the face of the earth. And the manufacture of weapons of destruction will cease. And the talents of men will no longer be used to make weapons of mass destruction, but will be used to manufacture implements of peace and prosperity for the enjoyment and blessing of mankind. All military camps will be shut down and converted to the production of useful goods and the manufacture of articles for the needs and enjoyment of all mankind. There will not be any men and women training for war. Notice again what God says in Isaiah 2 and verse 4. Neither shall they learn war anymore. The picture given us here in Isaiah is unmistakable and clear. God Almighty himself says that such a day is coming here upon this earth in which we now live. God says that such a golden age is in his long-range plan. There has never been as yet a golden age as Isaiah describes in these verses. So it must be in the future. If this golden age is not going to come to this world, then we might as well burn our Bibles because it leads us astray. Let's move on. Let's look at some other verses in Isaiah. Go over to the 11th chapter, if you would now, please. Isaiah chapter 11, page 723. Isaiah chapter 7, page 1123. I meant 11th chapter, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 6 and following. Notice carefully. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now these things have never taken place since God created this world, but it is God's word that it will. Notice again verse number 9. The earth, not heaven, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. So Isaiah is showing us what is going to take place on this earth, this present earth, and it's not talking about heaven. It will also be the day of Israel's complete restoration and redemption. The presence of Israel as a nation in the land of Palestine today is only the first step in the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies predicting the complete and final restoration of the nation of Israel to her promised land. Well, let's see what Jeremiah has to say about it. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, page 796. 796 in your Scofield Bible. Jeremiah 23. I'm going to pick it up at verse number 5 and following. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought upon the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Well, let's go over and see what Amos has to say about it. Go over to Amos chapter 9, page 940. Amos chapter 9, page 940. Amos, the great prophet, wrote down as the Holy Spirit led him some 800 years before Christ was born, and even before Israel had gone into captivity among the nations. Amos chapter 9, beginning in verse 13 and following. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine or the grape juice thereof. They shall not make, and they shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, for I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Here the prophet Amos tells of a future day when Israel shall be planted upon their own land, the land of Palestine, never to ever be plucked up again. And the passage ends with the words, saith the Lord thy God. I would rather know what God says in his word about Israel than what a lot of preachers are preaching today. When is all this going to happen? Well, we're going to find out real shortly. But first, we must understand that until King Jesus returns, there's not going to be any peace. As the age progresses, wars will increase. Wickedness and violence will continue until it will seem that man will completely destroy himself. Jesus himself said about the days immediately preceding his return to the earth that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. These momentous words need careful consideration in this nuclear age in which we live. Our Lord is speaking in Matthew 24, and I'd like for you to turn back to the New Testament now, to Matthew chapter 24, and you'll find that on page 1033. Matthew chapter 24, page 1033. Jesus is speaking about a time called the Great Tribulation, which is going to come upon this earth. I want you to notice his words here in Matthew 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. These certainly are momentous words. This time of tribulation will be without precedent in all of history. Nothing in all the record of humanity will even approximate that time, and nothing like it will ever occur again afterwards. And then to emphasize the gravity of it all, he holds this verse. Look at verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Unmistakable are these words of our Lord. Man, if left to himself without interference from God, will bring about such destruction that no flesh would survive. Our Savior is telling us that without the intervention of God, all organic life will be snuffed from this planet. That certainly does not paint a very pretty picture of what could happen in our lifetime. And if not ours, our kids and grandchildren. So is there no hope? Let's see if the Bible can give us a little bit of hope. Go to the New Testament, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That'll be on page 1272. 1272 in your King James Scofield Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, he that restraineth will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed. The He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now lives inside of all of us who have been born again. He is holding back the Antichrist from causing more destruction and destroying all life on this earth. But at the rapture, the Holy Spirit who indwells all believers will be taken to heaven. Then the Antichrist will come upon the scene and will bring about the great tribulation. Notice again, Matthew 24 and verse 22, page 1033. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God still holds his hands on the affairs of men. Full-scale nuclear destruction cannot come until God permits it. And according to his word, it will not come until the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, has been removed from the scene that'll take place at the rapture. Only then will the tribulation begin to cut short by the personal, visible return of Christ to this earth and end man's frantic, raging, headlong plunge to his own destruction. Then shall the words found in Psalm 46 and verse 9 come true. Would you turn there with me and let's look at that verse? Psalm 46, that's on page number 621. 621, Psalm 46 and verse number 9. Psalm 46, verse 9, page 621. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Then shall the prophecy of Zechariah 14:9 also be fulfilled. So turn there with me, please. Zechariah 14, page 979. Page 979, Zechariah 14. And look at verse number 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successful journeys run. His kingdom reach from shore to shore till moon shall wax and rain no more. Dear folks, there is coming a day, like we have never known before, and we will never know ever, ever again. So my question this morning is, are you prepared for what's coming on? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Is your house in order? Have you trusted in Christ as your only hope? If you haven't, I hope you'll do that this morning. Let's bow in prayer together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the picture that you've given to us in these verses of Scripture of what's going to happen. A wonderful, wonderful day's coming for those of us who are in Christ. What a great day. 1,000 years of peace upon this present earth. None of us in this room today has ever seen complete peace in our world. It's never happened, and we've never seen it. But one day we're going to. And we just pray that you'll hasten that day. Take us out of the rapture and then enter into that great 1,000 years of peace. What a joyful, wonderful time that's going to be. I pray, Father, for those in this auditorium that some may not know Christ and they're going to go through a horrible time. But they don't need to. All they need to do is receive him as their Lord and Savior. And then they won't have to go through the terrible period that's coming. We don't know what we've got to face, Lord, until that time that the rapture takes place. Things in the world are looking very, very bad today, and it seems like our leaders don't know what to do about it. I do pray you'll give them wisdom. I pray you'll give our president wisdom to know how to handle the events that's going on in our world today. I ask you to bless the invitation. Help folks make decisions today that they'll be glad they made 100 years from today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Without apology, we give an open invitation on Sundays. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you'll come down here at the